Amen. How many love Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are there angels in here? Praise the Lord. Some manifestations going on in here. That's like glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans 8, 31. And, you know, Adrian and I don't really talk about these things, but I'm going to kind of touch on some things that she was talking about. You know, tonight I want to talk about keeping your hope. It's very important to keep your hope. So, no, you know, and again, just to kind of piggyback off of what, and even Mr. Gary was talking about, we kind of got a theme going tonight, but some days, you know, it seems like things can't get any worse, and the news only will, only going to tell you what the devil's report is, you know, because the news is never going to report anything, you know, that's, you know, hey, there's people got saved today, or people got baptized, and that's not going to happen. Maybe someday, right? It depends on what kind of news you're watching, right? Maybe you're watching, who's the Kenneth Copeland's thing now? What, Victory? The Flashpoint. Yeah, he's like the guy that used to be, right? So, yeah. Yeah, they got some good stuff on there. So, you know, I mean, it's out there. But we're not of this world. We're the kingdom-minded, aren't we? And we got to continue to stay kingdom-minded and keeping our hope alive and having joy. We got to have joy. We got to have hope moving forward. And Romans 8:31, we'll start there. And it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? This is a really powerful, because it doesn't mean, well, there's nobody out there, enemies. It just means it doesn't matter who the enemy is, right? It doesn't matter what the thoughts that come to you are. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. We've already won. We've already won. And we've got a big God on our side. And again, no matter what you face, God's on your side. The enemy wants you to think that you're alone. See, that's the key. You see that through, especially during the Old Testament. You see it in the New Testament also, but especially, you know, you'll see things where the lying, the deception, for example, David and Goliath. We'll read some other accounts tonight, but for example, David and Goliath, I touched on that a few weeks ago, and that's all about a lying spirit. See, it's all about, those people did not see in the spirit realm God and his angels and all the forces on David's side, on the side of Israel, and demonic forces, the evil, on the Philistine side, right? They couldn't see those things, but we can, as believers, see into the spirit realm. Now, it doesn't mean often we see angels, you know, we can, but it doesn't mean you're going to see necessarily angels all the time and, you know, see into the spirit realm. But what I mean is you're going to have the inward witness on the spirit realm on your behalf. Amen. And it doesn't mean it's a feeling, but what it does mean is you've read the word, you've read the Bible, and you know that God's on your side. Jesus did everything in faith. Everything in faith. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember reading some things about some, you know, there was an island where the Japanese, a lot of Americans became POWs in, you know, one of the Pacific islands there, and they were just talking about just not giving up. Those who gave up and just, they died. Yeah. They're all, I mean, they all have the same, you know, I mean, we could just say everything held constant. Everybody's on a level playing field. Mm-hmm. And so those who, you know, kept faith and, you know, were kept the mindset, and they kept the speaking that when they get out of here, and this is what I'm going to do, and I can't wait to see my family, and I can't wait to see my parents, and this and that, they lived. The other folks, the other men did not, because they gave up. And so it's very, very, very important, and that's where the devil gets you, is when he can break your spirit, when he can get you to lose hope and everything, give up, All is lost. Everything's awful terrible. I'm going to go eat worms, right? That old song as kids. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat worms. Right? It's kind of old school. Right? Maybe. The kids are like, huh? He says, what? You eat worms? No, it's like Ring Around Rosie, you know. It's probably not a really great song either, is it?
No.
Now that when you're a kid, you're like singing this stuff. You're like, and all of a sudden you're like, that's kind of bad. Yeah. You know, it's probably not real good. You know, some of those nursery rhymes, you know. Babies hanging from trees, and if they fall, and I'm like, babies falling from trees, you know? Call DHS on these people. What's going on here? It's like, and I'm singing about it as a kid. John 14. Let's look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Jesus is speaking here, verse 1. And these are some really powerful scriptures here that Jesus is speaking. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Are you kids turning there too? You got your Bibles, everything? Everybody, all the kids turning? Look at we got big kids over here. Yeah, turning too. All right. So, in John chapter 14, verse 1, and it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." I got it in some other translations here, but the Lord is telling us, first of all, we have a choice, right? I remember one time I was in high school, had a psychology class. No, I'm not going to get weird or anything. We're talking about psychology, but, you know, because as a kid growing up, you know, the thought process was, you made me mad, you know, when I was a kid. You know, when you're younger, the whole thought process was, you made me mad. Well, we were in psychology class in high school, and one of the kids, one of my classmates there that I graduated with, I was probably like probably a sophomore at that time. And he said, well, you know, we choose to be mad. And I'm like, what? You know, that was foreign thinking to me at that time, you know, because your brother, your sister, they make you mad, right? It's their fault. They make you mad, right? Your friends, they make you mad. Other people make you mad. No, when he said, well, no, because the teacher said, I mean, well, when people make you mad, and he said, well, no, we choose to be mad. He goes, right, you choose to be mad. And it was a setup, and I'm thinking, I choose to be mad? Jesus here is saying, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Choose not to be troubled. We have a decision to make, don't we? It's our decision, right? Now, this is really old, and I didn't watch a show, but this is before my time, but there was a show, Flip Wilson. Remember Flip Wilson? Those of you old enough to remember that? What was the thing he said all the time? The devil made me do it. Well, the devil didn't make you do anything, right? That was his whole joke, everything. Well, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do anything. You chose to do those things, right? The devil didn't make you depressed. You chose to take that on. You know, I think the perfect example is when we see Jesus, after he's baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes upon him there in Luke chapter 4, and then he goes out into the wilderness with the devil, right? The devil did not make him do anything. What did he do? He just presented the temptation. He presented the thoughts. He presented the things, and it was up to Jesus to take hold of it, and he didn't, obviously, did he? He said, nope, I'm not going to turn these stones into bread, because man does not live by bread alone, right? And then, he wouldn't jump off the pinnacle of the temple. It's like, nope, it's not going to happen. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. And then when he tempted him to, you know, bow down, and I'll give you all my authority if you just bow down. Nope, worship the Lord thy God only. And so Jesus didn't take the bait, right? And all the devil is doing is just putting bait out there, you know? He put the worm on his hook, and he's throwing it out there in front of us and see if we're going to take it or not. And so nobody makes you mad. You choose, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So Jesus said, believe in God and believe in me, but don't let your heart be troubled. Don't get hung up on these things. It's a temptation of the devil. Why? Because we don't realize this. We think of things, when you go to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and it talks about sin, and the Lord talks about sin, and, you know, also, too, the Apostle Paul talks about these things, and all throughout the New Testament, worry is sin, right? Worry is just right next to adultery and stealing and murder, right? What is it? It's you're putting more faith into that than you are God. One of the things that just made God really, really angry was worshiping other gods, right? Because he said, I'm a jealous God. See, because he created us, he gave us all these good things, he put us around the earth, he provided all of these things, and we turn our nose up at it. You know, many people, they go the other way. You know. In verse 2, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may also be. And whither I go, you know the way that you know. And then let's look at a New Living Translation. I'm reading a couple other scriptures here because sometimes I like to read the King James because it brings out some other things, and I like some other translations. John 14, 1 through 4, the same, and it says in the New Living Translation, and I want to read the Passion Translation also, but it says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. In this, if this were not so, would I have already told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I'm going. Now, if we read this, and let's read the Passion Translation on this, and it says, "Oh, I guess I've got another one. We'll stop there. I've got some other ones I want to read here. But when we really kind of dissect this down, Jesus is really coming at a perspective of an eternal perspective, right? Hey, there's mansions on the other side of this life. I'm going to prepare something for you that's not even here. You'll be with me. I'll come and get you. Don't worry about things, right? What's Jesus saying? This is all temporary." All temporary. Don't be worried about what's going on right now, because long term, I got a great place. There's plenty of room for everybody in God's house. It's gonna be great. I'm gonna get it ready for you. I'll come back and get you, and you'll know the way. Awesome, right? Awesome. John 14, 25 through 31 in the Passion Translation. And it says, I am telling you this while I am still with you. Jesus speaking here. But when the Father sends the Spirit of holiness, the one like me who sets you free, he will teach you all things in my name, and he will inspire you to remember every word that I've told you. Verse 27, I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace. Here we go. Not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. I think, Adrian, you were talking about that earlier. You know, there is a fragile peace. Yeah. It is a temporary bandage, right? Yeah. You know, that old adage, no rest for the wicked. That's true. Anytime you don't have God in your life, there's no rest. There's no real peace. There's no real rest at all. Mm-hmm. You know? I just remember growing up and knowing drug dealers and people, you know, some bad people years ago, and it's like they're always paranoid, right? I was in a band one time, and one guy had drugs and, you know, all kinds of stuff, and he'd come and watch us and different things and play, and he'd come hang out with all of us and everything, and the guy's paranoid all the time, right? Somebody's taking my money. Where's the police at? Why? Because when you're involved in these things, there's no rest ever. You're always looking over your shoulder. You're always paranoid. You have a guilty conscience. You have the Bible says a sin consciousness, right? You have this guilty complex all the time. And so Jesus is sitting here in verse 27. He says, I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace. What's my peace? The Holy Spirit. It's the person. It is the Holy Spirit. Not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Fragile or temporary. What are some temporary things? Well, in this world, you know, it's all about feelings or, you know, putting a patch on something. You know, some people, they get peace by shopping, right? But what, you know, I mean, once you buy it, then you get it home and you unwrap it, and it's like, oh, okay, that's gone. Or a happy movie, you know, makes you feel good. I mean, great, after the movie's over, then it's kind of like, now you're back to reality. Or, you know, fun event. Hey, let's go to Adventureland. Let's go to this amusement park. Let's go to this. They're not bad things, but they don't give you peace, right? Happiness is when somebody gives you a check or gives you money or gives you something. That's good, but that's temporary. That only lasts a little while. Peace is, no matter what situation I'm in, like the Apostle Paul, I can be in prison and still have joy, right? Because at midnight, I can sing. That's peace. Where, you know, people who are outside of prison, having a good time with their family, eating a meal, yeah, they have some kind of, you would think that they would have some peace. But why is it that some people who have, you know, especially there's some convicts, they get born again, they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, they have more peace in prison than they did when they were free. Why is that? Because the person, the Holy Spirit, brings peace. The fruits of the Spirit, the byproducts of the Holy Spirit, are Galatians chapter 5, right? It talks about the works of the flesh, where all the bad things that happen, and then we see there later on in Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, which means basically the byproducts, right? Wherever God goes, there's love. Wherever God goes, there's kindness. Wherever God manifests, there's peace. Wherever God manifests, there's joy, right? There's all of those elements that wherever God shows up, it just happens, right? He just brings those things. That's why, you know, I get a little bit, you know, people that, you know, well, God said he's going to kill all of you and you're all going to die and you're all going to, it's like, wait, what? that's not his character if I read Galatians, the fifth chapter, right? You know, you're all going to be depressed. It's all going to be bad news. It's all going to be, No, that's not the byproduct of the Holy Spirit. That's not the byproduct of God. When he shows up, good things happen. And so we'll read on here, don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. Remember what I have told you, that I must go away, but I promise to come back to you. So if you truly love me, you will be glad for me, since I'm returning to my Father, which is greater than I. So when all of these things happen, you will still trust and cling to me. I won't speak with you much longer, for the ruler of the dark world is coming, but he has no power over me. See, that's key. See, when the enemy comes and the circumstances come and everything else too, guess what, guys? It has no power over you. Right? It has no power over you. Remember that. No power over you. It has no power over me, for he has nothing to use against me. I am doing exactly what the Father destined for me to accomplish, so that the world will discover how much I love my Father. Now come with me. Interesting here. Jesus is saying, I'm on my pathway to fulfill the destiny that God, my Father, has called me to do. The enemy comes, but he has no power over me. No power over me. See, we would say things like, well, you know, the Romans killed Jesus, or the Jews ultimately killed Jesus, or this. And no, Jesus said, I lay my life down as a sacrifice. Yeah. You know, what did he tell Herod? He goes, no man takes my life. I lay my life down, right? You have no authority over me. I'm the one that chooses to lay my life down. Mm-hmm. So again, Jesus is always in control, even though they thought he was never in control. He was in control of the whole situation. Because all he had to do was say, no, I did not. You know, all he had to say is really come out and defend himself, and he would have walked away from it, right? That's it. I mean, he could have walked away from everything because he really didn't do anything wrong. He was healing people and everything. And they were trying to. Why? Because they were obviously jealous and full of demonic forces. Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1 says, this is a living Bible. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us. Even though we cannot see it up ahead, right? Men of God in days of old were famous for their faith. The Passion Translation says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. These are really good. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. See, here's the thing. Our hope are the things that we desired. Bless you. The hope, the Bible talks about, are the things we desire. So those are the things we desire, right? Faith says, pulls that into reality. Let's read the Living Bible one more time. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want, what is what we want? It's the thing we're hoping for, right? Is going to happen. See, here's one thing too that I see the devil working with people and the enemy and the world system is what they do is they try to beat you down so you don't want it. Right? Because if you're not hoping for something, you're not going to believe for anything, right? Well, you know, I mean, I'll just probably never, you know, always be in debt. It'll just be awful terrible. And you don't desire to get out of anything. You know, I'll never drive a better car. See, you don't desire one. The idea is nice. Well, I'll never get out of the situation. I'll never do this. I'll never do this. See, you're beating yourself down rather than coming back and saying, nope, I can. I can believe for those things. I can believe for my family members to be born again. I do believe in these things. See, once we lose hope, that's the thing that we're desiring. Everything else is lost. I remember being in sports and playing with people and, you know, they get, you know, they come to practice and everything, and then they get out there and they're like, yeah, whatever, yeah. Get on the ball field or whatever it is we're doing and, you know, have a ball, baseball hit to them and they're like, kind of just glump, grab it and throw it in. Okay, well, he just scored from first base because you're lazy, right? It's just, yeah. We're all losing because of you. Hello, right? You watch three strikes go by. Hello, you struck out. We had bases loaded. Wake up, right? Why? Because their hope, their desire is nowhere, right? They're thinking about the snow cone after baseball, right? I get my two tickets and I get a snack afterwards, you know. And they're the first one in line for the snack, right? Hey, guess what? When we win, we get more snacks, right? I was like that because parents are more apt to give you more tickets. Well, you go to the concession stand and you get more snacks. So, you know, the little candy that I got, now I can get a nachos, right? So it's like, why? Because their hope, their desire is gone. I'm not really going to do anything anyway, so I'm just going to give up. Well, and that's what the devil wants you to do. That's what's called complacency. Complacency will zap your hope. Lukewarm. That's why God gets so upset about how being lukewarm, because when you're lukewarm, you don't believe for anything. You have no drive to do anything or go anywhere or do anything, right? There was a little guy on Eeyore or whatever that guy was on the Winnie the Pooh.
Yep.
Oh, I guess I'll never learn. Oh, I guess I'll never do it. Well, there's no hope with him, is there? Right? Yeah. Oh, it'll probably rain today. I don't know if I'll ever make it home. Right? Gloom, gloom. The New Living Translation says this: faith shows the reality of what we hope for, right? If we have no desire, no hope, if we're not hoping for anything, I'm never going to get a gremlin because I'm not hoping for one, right? I'm telling that right now, all right? So just, yeah. I mean, some of you may just think they're the most awesome things ever. Good for you, all right? If your dream car is a Pinto or a gremlin, God bless you. So, yeah, actually, they're going up in price, so I can't figure that one out. But anyway, I'm looking around like, well, those things are going for quite. I'm starting to get some money. So, have you seen the lady with
the Christmas tree
on top of the gremlin? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Right there, we go.
Oh my!
Yeah, she's making a statement, and it's pretty loud. You're burning my eyeballs, lady. But faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. So again, people who are discouraged have lost their hope. You expect nothing, you get nothing. You believe for nothing, you receive nothing. If you lose your hope, you pretty much lost everything, right? Numbers, let's look at Numbers 13:28. We'll read this scripture here and we'll, before we take off. Now, this is what's going to happen if you get around people that don't have hope. King James here, and it is verse 28. So we're 13:28, Numbers 13:28. Nevertheless, the people, now I'm going to give you a little background here. This is when the 12 spies went into the promised land, spied out. They came back in their report, okay? And it says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, they're giving this report back, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, okay? And these were giants, all right? Skip down to verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it, right? Well, there's multiple things going on here. Number one, God already promised them this land. So he had a rhema word. He had a word from God that this was promised land was going to be theirs. Caleb is saying, what is he? He has hope. He has faith. He has vision for this, right? It's already promised to them. Let's go take it. Verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now, so let's just break it down to this, okay? We've got God's word coming out, and then we have CNN, right? Is that like CNN? We've got the mainstream media. Oh, everything's awful terrible, right? You look at somebody wrong, you'll get COVID. Right? And, you know, it's just, come on, right? I mean, it's just, everybody's going to get COVID, we're all going to burst into flames, and it's going to be the end of the world. I mean, it's just awful terrible. I mean, it's just this craziness, right? Now, there's some people that have gotten COVID, and we're not, but what it is just, everything is ridiculous. We can't do it. We're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone and searched it is a land that is eaten up of inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw in it are great men of great stature. So what did it take? It took an evil report, didn't it? To destroy everything. Everything. It was theirs. you know, they had hope. They had God behind them. God said, just go check it out. God was just wanting to spy it out, just to get an idea before they invaded. That was it. God wasn't really interested in their opinion, like whether they could or couldn't. That wasn't the thing. It was just like, come back and tell us what it is. I'm not interested in whether you think we can or can't. That was not the question. It was, go spy out the land, right? Well, it's got a lot of fruit, and it's really good, and everything else. What do they see? Big walls. Big dudes. Oh, no. Oh, this isn't going to be good at all. Go suck my thumb. But, you know, and then we see here, verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. How do you know that? Did you talk to them about it? Did you go to Starbucks? Did you sit down and have a cup of coffee and hash everything out? You know, well, you guys look enormous. How do we look to you? I mean, I don't think there's protocol, right? So they're just making a lot of this stuff up in their head. Hello? In our own sight. See, it looks awful. It looks terrible. It looks awful. And then it's like, let's see. We forgot all the plagues. We forgot Pharaoh's army drowned in the Red Sea. They forgot all these things. I mean, I'd be freaking out. I mean, the Red Sea went, and I was, okay, I'm done doubting. But, you know, they're maybe different than me, but I've seen things too. I'm like, okay. But but again, what are they doing? They're not putting faith into God. They're putting faith in their circumstances, right? It looks terrible. It looks awful. Everything looks. Why? Because that's all the devil has is to just throw images in front of your face, right? That's all it is. You don't know what God's doing behind the scenes. And sometimes God's not going to tell you what he's doing behind the scenes because he wants you to have faith in him and not have it all figured out. You know, in my life, every time I see God working, it's never been what I thought. Never. So if you think, oh, I got this all figured out. God, let me give you my plans, Lord. Here, I've got it all written out. Here's the plans for my life. And God's like, okay, yeah, that's really great. And he throws it away. He doesn't care what we think. He loves us, right? But this is his plan. And what do we have to do? We have to have hope in him. We have to have the desire. We have to have our faith in him. The circumstances, the people, the media, the world system is all going to tell you no. They're going to tell you, you have to do this. Guess what? God and I are walking down this path. I don't have to go down this path, and you don't have to go down this path. We're grasshoppers in our sight, and so we were in their sight. It's just awful, terrible. Numbers 14, 1 through 2, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, all night. Oh, terrible, awful. All losses, everything's lost. So they turned into a bunch of Eeyore. Oh, we can't do it now. And then verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, who, by the way, brought him out of Egypt. And without Moses doing this trick of the Red Sea, yeah, they'd have all been turned into fertilizer or kitty litter or something, right? And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God have had us die in this wilderness, right? God's either going to have us die in Egypt or die out here in the wilderness. Right? I'm going to say this too as we close here. When people lose hope, they lose perspective. Remember that. When people lose hope, they lose perspective. What happened to the Israelites here? They were completely out of perspective on reality, weren't they? When the devil comes along and he lies to you, this whole last year and a half has been the news. Everybody's going to die. COVID's going to kill everybody. Everything's lost. It's just terrible. No, not everybody died, right? And a whole lot of people shouldn't have died because of what happened, right? All the cheap medication out there that could instantly do all the stuff. We know from the frontline doctors, we've heard that from there, where all these doctors are like, hey, I cured 100% of people with all these medications. And again, the media will not report on any of that stuff. Now we're seeing hospitals refuse to help people, and they'd rather just see people die, it seems like. We got friends of ours that are in situations like that right now, too. But the point is this, that when people lose hope, they lose all perspective, all sense of reality, right? So when people are watching the news, they see that, and they think, oh, this is reality. And I'm sorry to tell you, the news is not reality. It is not reality. It is not reality. We know that. We're seeing truth coming, and it's going to slowly creep out, and it's going to be wonderful, and I love it. But so when people lose their hope, they're going to lose their perspective, and we've seen people last year and a half that have lost their perspective, right? My salvation lies in a mask, right? And you see people that get so crazy and so nuts, they think that some little paper mask or some little cloth mask is their salvation. Some jab is going to be their salvation. That's not going to be your salvation, guys. Right? We know that. Jesus, God is our salvation. He's the one we look to. Right? You ever notice? Because in this world system, the goalpost always moves. So, for example, when you wear a mask, everything's great. Now, if you stay 6 feet apart, now it's like, now if you get this jab, now everything's great. Oh, you got the jab. Now you get to wear the mask. Oh, now you get the mask. Now you got the jab. Now you get additional jabs. But you still have to wear a mask. And you still have to stay 6 feet apart. And you need to take more jabs because, again, we're still not going to be there because everybody needs to have jabs and masks and everything else too. Well, no, you told me that if I took the jab, I wouldn't need masks. Now you're telling me I need to take the jab and more jabs and the mask and everything else and blah, 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 blah. It's like, it's fraud. It's laughable, right? And so it's embarrassing that people have lost their mind over the last year and a half, 2 years, and this is what it is. They've lost perspective. They've lost, well, in this case, a lot of many people have lost their hope, but they've lost their perspective on everything, haven't they? They've lost their mind of what science says, what doctors have said, and everything else too. And what we've done is we've put everything in this basket. People, and so when we see, when people who are in serious distress, many people lose their sense of reasoning, don't they? I've dealt with people over the years where, they've been in very serious distress and they lost their hope. Everything's lost. And what happens is you lose your sense of reasoning at that point, right? You can't step back and think about things and think, wait a minute here. What's reality? What are things happening? Why are these things happening? Again, because we lose hope, we're going to lose our perspective. When we lose our perspective, that's when we get out of whack. And guess what? I appreciate doctors. I appreciate medicine. I appreciate all these other things. But Jesus is my Savior. Amen. Not the 6 o'clock news. Not any political party's opinion or anything else, too. It's Jesus Christ. God is the one that has sent Jesus to redeem the world. Yeah. Amen. And so when I put my faith into other people, and not God. Now, they can help me. I'm not against hospitals. I'm not against medicine. I'm not against doctors. We're not against all those things. But we don't worship those people, and we don't run to them for our salvation on anything, do we? They can help, but Jesus is Savior. He's the healer, according to the Word, right? And so, but he's not a manipulator. He's not trying to manipulate into doing anything, right? You have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. We just read a couple weeks ago, I talked about choose to stay out of Deuteronomy, right? Life or death. So everything you have in life is choices. The devil will force you and push you to do things. The devil will demand, you have to do this, you have to do this, and you have to do this. Who's that sound like? A lot of the media lately, right? You have to do this, 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 you have to do this. Great, that's what Hitler and Stalin did too. Yeah. You have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. And so, but we're going to stay in peace. Yeah. Amen? Because peace is your decision, it's my decision. It's whether we want to stay in peace or not. And peace doesn't come from this world, it comes from Him. and hope. That's the thing. We just cannot lose our hope and that cannot lose our desire for those things that we're believing for. Amen? And once we lose hope, we can lose perspective. We can get off kilter, and then therefore, you know, we kind of lose reality at that point, right? Because now we're, now instead of putting it in God, now we're putting it in people and things and money and circumstances and news and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And we're not against all those things, but when we get out of whack and get out of balance on things and we don't put God first, that's when things start getting weird, right? Amen. And, you know, and again, I'm not saying I'm against doctors. I'm not saying I'm against, you know, there's good news people out there. We're not saying that at all. But again, when we get weird with things and get fearful, and I mean, I've talked to people that, I mean, they're just, in the past, they've just been like out of their mind, just scared about stuff, you know. It's like, nope. Perfect love casts out fear, amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for this time together, Lord, to these people that, we thank you we're going to hold on to hope and faith, Lord God. We know that we are not to fear. Lord, I thank you for your statement there. It says, let not your heart be troubled. We're not going to be troubled. We're not going to be troubled by the world system, what they say, the news, any disease that comes about. Because you told us there in the Old Testament that you would redeem us from any sickness and disease. And what? No plague would come near our dwelling. Amen. Lord, we thank you that our our homes are a place of healing, Lord God. Our homes are a place of protection and a place of where you dwell, Holy Spirit. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Wednesday night. Amen. It's good. We're praying some things out. Hallelujah. Have a great week.